The reading this morning is taken from Micah and can be found on page 757 in the Church Bibles if you wish to follow. Chapter 6, verse 6. With what shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before God on high? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has told you, O mortal, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you, but to do justice and to love kindness, and so walk humbly with your God. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Now we have the reading from Psalm 8 to 12.
Agree with us forever? Will you prolong your anger through all generations? Will you not revive us again, that your people may rejoice in you? Show us your unfailing love, Lord, and grant us your salvation. I will listen to what God the Lord says. He promises peace to his people, his faithful servants, but let them not turn to folly. Surely his salvation is near. Those who fear him, that his glory may dwell in our land. Love and faithfulness meet together. Righteousness and peace kiss each other. Faithfulness springs forth from the earth, and righteousness looks down from heaven. The Lord will indeed give what is good, and our land will yield its harvest. Bring us back, O God, our Saviour. Put an end to your grievance against us. Will you be angry with us forever? Will your anger last from age to age?
Will you not restore again our life, that your people may rejoice in you? Let us see your Lord, bless us, and grant your salvation.
I will hear what the Lord God speaks. He speaks of peace for his people, and his faithful and those who turn their hearts to him. His salvation is near for those who fear him, and his glory will dwell in our land.
Love and faithfulness have met. Justice and peace have kissed. Faithfulness shall spring from the earth, and justice look down from heaven.
Amen.
Now we have the Gospel reading from Luke chapter 10, verses 25 to 37.
The reading can be found on page 844 of the Church Bibles if you want to follow it. And it's from St. Luke's Gospel, chapter 10, beginning to read at verse 25. Just then a lawyer stood up to test Jesus. Teacher, he said, what must I do to inherit eternal life? He said to him, what is written in the law? What do you read there? He answered, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind and your neighbour as yourself. And he said to him, you've given the right answer. Do this, and you will live. But wanting to justify himself, he asked Jesus, and who is my neighbour? Jesus replied, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell into the hands of robbers, who stripped him, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. Now by chance, a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, while travelling, came near him, and when he saw him, he was moved with pity. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, having poured oil and wine on him. Then he put him on his own animal and brought him to an inn and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper and said, "Take care of him, and when I come back, I will repay you whatever more you spend." Which of these 3 do you think was a neighbour to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers? He said, "The one who showed him pity." Jesus said to him, "Go and do likewise." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Matthew's Gospel says, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." Our week of prayer for Christian unity started its life over 100 years ago as an initiative from the Roman Catholic Church. And over the years, I can think back over different expressions of how we've kept this week. Lectures, prayer groups, pulpit exchanges, visits to other churches. I remember when I was a curate being put down to go to a local Methodist church and discovering to my horror that I had much more work to do. I had to design the service, choose the hymns, and write a longer sermon than my Anglican or Catholic heritage had prepared me for. Ecumenism at the time seemed a lot like hard work. But what touched me then, what touched me on my first Sunday here, and what touched me this morning was the ministry of prayer. People who come up to us before the service starts, who pray with us in the vestry, that we might be touched by the word of God coming from our lips, and that our preaching will be a blessing. It's very humbling, it's very affirming to be prayed for. It raises the bar quite high. And sometimes being somewhere different and doing something very differently is a gift. New experiences can enlarge our gift of, or our experience of faith. Throughout the world, in our churches, we're in the season of Epiphany. It begins with the visit of the Magi. Those 3 outsiders come to a household of faith, and we're reminded how often we need the stranger. We need the person who's different. We need the one whose understanding is beyond our experience, because these show us glimpses of the truth. None of us have a complete understanding of the truth. All of us are on a journey of searching. And the motto of the Anglican Church comes from the Gospel of John, that we might be led into all truth. And Christian unity reminds us that we all need truth, the truth that others can bring, the truth that comes from our experience of Jesus together. It is, of course, a week of prayer. In some places, it develops into a week of activity. It teaches us that something is significant. Unity is a gift for us that comes from God. We can strive for it, we can hope for it, we can work for it, and we can pray for it. But being one so that the world may believe comes from God himself. Matthew again, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." We're all called to follow Jesus. What cost does that give to us? Following Jesus, for some people in different parts of the world, can come at great cost. There is experience of persecution and oppression just for daring to be different or to profess a faith in Jesus. Even more closer to home, sometimes when we profess our faith as Christians, we're often derided for it. We're persecuted for daring to speak the truth of Jesus. So we pray for unity. and not just this week, but every week. Go to different churches, go to cathedrals, go anywhere, and you will find Christians all worshipping together and worshipping differently. So we pray for the unity that God can bring, and that unity one day might surprise all of us. We live in a very polarizing world. Media comment enables disagreements and arguments to be entered into without great thought. We become reactive people rather than being responsive. Some of the greatest debates amongst Christians are no longer between different denominations, but within them. You might have read something in the news this week about the meeting of bishops that's just taken place, looking at exploring blessing of same-sex marriages in Anglican churches. And for a lot of us, that is going to involve a lot of prayer and soul-searching to find out where we stand on that. And the fault lines between conservatives and radicals are in themselves actually ecumenical. A conservative evangelical might have more in common with their Catholic conservative counterpart than with a fellow radical evangelical on issues of same-sex marriage or even the place of women within the church. And we've got to admit that the Bible is not always clear on some issues. It's not as clear as we actually want it to be. When we read the Bible, we notice that throughout its history, there is a huge amount of disagreement in the household of faith from the very start. Just read 1 and 2 Corinthians to find people squabbling, people falling out over what seemed to be quite trivial issues. Peter and Paul went head to head over whether the church's mission included that of the Gentiles as well as the Jews, God's chosen people. And Paul's views actually changed and developed over time. There's never been a time when unity completely agrees. Yet in our divided world, even a divided church can give a message of hope when we hope for the world's sake. Political debates develop over time. Think about Brexit. Think about politicians in America and in Brazil encouraging supporters to storm institutions of democracy. It's easy to raise the political temperature. And in all of this, surely the gift from a very human church with all its strengths and its weaknesses is to commend the power of good, effective disagreement. And to do that, we need to learn that, because that's going to lead to plenty of opportunity. So we need to learn the skills of healthy disagreement. St. Paul, in his letter to the Romans in chapter 14, asks them not to pass judgment on one another. Let all be convinced in their own minds. Those who eat, eat in honour of the Lord, since they give thanks to God. While those who abstain, abstain in honour of the Lord and give thanks to God. Don't judge one another, Paul says. Don't make one another stumble. That's a challenge. That's a challenge for all our prayers. That's a challenge for our prayers as we seek for our unity that God is calling us to. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.